Everybody likes guns. They just don't know it. Deep inside of his soul, there's a cowboy trying to get out.
Welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content and word pronunciation is simply the opinion of the hosts and their guests.
Hello and welcome to episode 113 of New Shooter Canada. This week we're going to discuss everyday carry because my topic of jawjacking for 20 minutes got flushed down the toilet. Thank you guys. So, I'm not bitter one bit. So let's get started with the show, and while this phone just shut off, which has my show notes, and we're back. Okay, we'll start off with me as always, because I've always got the shortest. I did nothing in depth. So, moving on. Thomas, what did you do in depth?
You didn't even look at a picture of a gun, read a magazine, nothing in guns?
No, I was actually busy this week with work. Usually I have like one day off during the week, which I'm going to shut up now because I really have no excuse to not be shooting this, but I've got time off during the week, too. I did like nothing. This is for Tim. I kind of sort of almost called that guy about some AR parts, which I still haven't done yet.
But one day. Yeah. I did go shooting, so actually.
All right, Thomas, what did you do?
Actually, I did go shooting. My club had their club-level handgun safety course at Port today. We had 16 new members, and 11 of those were newbies. And we actually had 4 girl newbies and 2 girls that actually came on their own. Like, they got the interest to go shooting all by themselves. That was great to see. What I did, you guys know I don't get up early. I'm not getting up at 8 o'clock. And they have a set of instructors that do first part of the course, and then I come in after lunch and I just help on the line, just running one of the ROs and one of the instructors. So I got there about 12, so I did the practical, the test, and the live fire. And everybody did really good. Once I go over the nervousness, it was basically your first shoot. It's just safety and the basics. The coaching doesn't come later, but at the end of your 10 to 12 shoots, depending how you do, you can usually shoot pretty well at Port because we really coach you through it. I actually met a young guy from Target Sports. He used to shoot over there. And remember how we're talking how Target Sports has gone self-insured? Well, he's self-insured, and they don't do a recognized club-level safety course. So if they'd been a CSSA range and he'd taken the club-level course, he wouldn't have to take the full course. You just have to take, you know, club rules and a couple of probationary sheets. But because they're self-insured and they don't take a recognized course, the guy had to start all over again and come through our course. So he did very well. He was very excited. He's got some nice guns coming in, so that was good too. And afterwards, I stayed behind to shoot a bit because Drew had one shooter that was having problems, and I suggested that I brought my red dot, and if he wanted to try that. So Drew and I stayed behind and helped one of the new persons, and then one of the girls wanted to stay behind too. So we shot the two of them for an extra 30 minutes, then we packed up, and I was, Drew saw my X-Cal on the table, and he goes, "Oh, I won one of those." He was the guy that won the X-Cal at the Odell, Odell had a range day a couple months ago, and David Kobe was there, and my buddy Drew won the X-Cal. I didn't realize that, which is pretty cool. And then I just shot the 45 for a bit, and actually taking that quarter pound off the trigger really, really helped. I really like the trigger pull now on that gun. So I just shot that in the 9 for a little bit, maybe shot for maybe a half hour, and then I had to head back here and pick up dinner for Terry and record. That's the deal. When we do the podcast, is that I get to shoot. I gotta bring home dinner or whatever she needs at Walmart, feed her, and then I can record the show. That's how it works.
Like a fair deal.
Yeah, that's how it works. So she's fed, everybody's happy, even the dog's sleeping now.
Awesome. Mike, how about you? What did you do this week?
Oh, I just, on Friday, I think it was, I started reloading some 9mm. After the last time Sarah and I had gone out to the range, we had chronographed some rounds, and I realized that I didn't need to make hers quite so hot now that she's shooting out of the 1911. So I reloaded them. I reloaded a couple different variations, different length of bullets, different amounts of powder, just to see what it would do.
What were your findings?
Well, after about the first 30 rounds, the chronograph started acting up. when we went out, it was just at the zero mark. So the first 30 rounds, it pretty much it didn't seem to matter about my overall case length. They were still pretty consistent. And even the minimum powder load in there, I was still getting like 1,100 feet per second. And for Sarah to make a power factor, she really only needed to get to, about 1,025 feet per second. So she's well over power factor. Good enough that we know for sure she won't have any problem making it when we go down to Florida. But it was also the minimum amount of powder, so I don't really want to go any lower than that.
So you can both use the same load?
Well, no, this is just for a 9mm. My plan is to shoot the revolver at the state championship.
Oh, okay.
So, yep. So that, and then after about 30 rounds, I started getting some weird numbers out of it. And then my, like one shot would be at like 1000, then the next shot would be at like 1150. And they just all of a sudden went all over the place. And I attribute that to the cold because everything was loaded, using the same, I was using my Lee powder thrower just to try and keep things a little bit more accurate.
And there was no impact on the on a crony, right? No bullet impacts?
None that I noticed.
Oh, okay, good. Okay.
Mike, did you shoot your chronograph?
No, I did not.
Not today, no?
I had a couple times when I pulled the trigger and I thought to myself, like, ooh, if I was shooting paper, I would call that shot as low. And I'm thinking, please, don't hit the chronograph. Just waiting to move the gun to the side so I can read the screen and like, oh, good, there's no hole there.
Was it overcast when you were shooting?
It started overcast and it kind of got brighter as I was shooting. But it started completely missing shots. Like I would shoot and it wouldn't record anything, wouldn't get any readings back. So
what temperatures do they rate them as?
It rates it from like zero to I don't know what up, zero and up.
It was cold out.
It was, and that's what I mean. That's why I was wondering, because it was like right at that zero mark, I was wondering if the whole machine was still kind of warm from, you know, being in the car. And
I was in my t-shirt all day in a nice warm indoor range.
Anyways, yeah, so I attribute that. So I think the cold started messing it up. So after that, we just started shooting for fun. Sarah is still getting failures to extract. And I have no idea what to do about that.
Did you go on the University of YouTube and look at the how to tune an extractor?
No, I have not. Are all extractors on 1911 tunable? Or I thought that you had to buy a specific...
It depends on the extractor. You can get, I think it's the Aztec, actually is a spring-loaded extractor for 1911. That you actually have a gunsmith put in.
Yeah, we just have whatever comes standard in the gun, so.
Yeah, and the other thing with the crony is it's the LCD in the cold. It slows the crystals right down, so you don't even get a display.
Yeah. But that's just it. I would shoot, and normally what would happen is I would shoot, and then by the time I moved the gun kind of out of the way so I could see the screen, I would just see right at the end, because it counts what shot number you're on. I would see that, and then it would switch over to what the speed was. But, yeah, like I said, there were some that wasn't reading at all, and it didn't even flicker or anything. So, yeah. Extractors are tunable, so I can pretty much just go on YouTube and figure out how to do that.
Yeah, it just might be inserted wrong. Okay. Be on the wrong angle or pull it out. It's easy to check out. Yeah, but go on YouTube. You can replace the extractors. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you have to bend them a little bit to get them tuned in.
Okay. Cause this one is, how many shots? You probably shot 100 to 150 rounds and we probably had at least like 10 failure to extract. So right now it's pretty bad. And kudos to Sarah. She's getting really good at clearing them now. He's getting good at the, you know, rack the slide back, drop the mag, rack the slide a bunch of times, put the mag back in.
Is it getting caught in the chamber?
Yeah, it's getting caught in the chamber. Like, it's not pulling it out at all.
Yeah, so there's probably no tension on it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know 1911 enough, but I will look into that this week, and hopefully by next week I will have, I'll have more information for the listeners about that.
Do you have your Norinco yet?
No, it, my, what's the word I'm looking for? transfer it approved, and it's in the mail somewhere. It's on its way. So, yeah, nothing I ordered last week has made it in, but everything should start flooding in this week. Hopefully that includes the Norinco. But, anyways, yeah, so when I was getting ready for, to go shooting, I also realized that I only have about 20 rounds of 38 Special left. I didn't realize that I had let my, my stockpile get so low, so instead of shooting the revolver today, I brought my the other day I brought my P239, which is my, single stack compact SIG that pretty much like a 226 double action, single action. And it kind of fits inside my, P226 holster. Not good enough that I'd actually use it for competition, but it's good enough for just walking around the range with it. And I'm really liking it. The more I shoot it, the more I find it's just comfortable. It's easy to aim. It's hit dead on every time. So.
They're nice guns.
Oh,
they're
yeah,
nice
it guns. Is. And
are you using the same load for your 9 as you're using for, Sarah?
No, these are actually loads that I had made for my P226 back earlier in the year.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but I did check, and based on the new, IDPA rule book, if it goes through, my P239 will be, CCP conceal carry pistol legal. So that'll be a different division I'll be able to play in if I, just get a holster for it.
Oh, excellent.
Yep. Yep. So I'm really happy with that. So that's all I did.
George, we had that sure. delay. That's the problem when,
Sorry, I muted myself because I had to sneeze.
Sound like you're in a fishbowl.
Are we ready to move on to story one?
We yep. are.
Alright. Story number one, coming your way right after these messages. Just kidding. Okay, story number one. Donald Trump's New York City handgun carry application revealed. Dun dun dun. New York, New York, ammoland.com. A recent Freedom of Information request to the New York City License Division released a copy of President-elect's New York City handgun carry application. It is very reassuring to see that the future President of the United States believes in the freedom to carry concealed. Story number two.
How many other people besides the very wealthy and famous get a concealed carry permit in New York State?
I think you pretty much just described everyone who had one in New York State.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So story number two. Gun Crime Since Polytechnique by Daniel Fritter from Caliber Magazine, which actually does come free with your CSSA membership.
Yeah. It's a great magazine.
Yep. So 27 years after the horrific Ecole Polytechnique massacre, the number of firearms in civilian possession has never been higher. While Canada's gun murder rate continues to drop at a rate exceeding that of the overall murder rate. In 1989, in addition to the 14 victims whose lives were tragically claimed by anti-feminist Marc Le Pen, 640 other Canadians were victims of homicide, rendering an overall homicide rate of 2.40 victims for every 100,000 Canadians. Of those 654 total victims, 216 were killed by firearms, resulting in a firearm murder rate of 0.79 per 100,000. According to Statistics Canada's report on homicide, dated 23rd November 2016, Canada's overall murder rate has declined dramatically since 1989, with Statistics Canada reporting a homicide rate of just 1.68 per 100,000 Canadians in 2015. That represents a decrease in the nation's overall homicide rate of 30% since 1989. The firearm murder rate has been reduced even further, falling from 0.79 per 100,000 in 1989 to just 0.49 in 2015, a reduction of 38%. This Statistics Canada's report comes mere months after Canada's 2015 Commissioner of Firearms report broke news that firearm possession had seen record-breaking growth recently. 399,086 firearm licenses were issued in 2015 to bring the total number of license holders to 2,026,011 nationwide, a total that represents just under 6% of the Canadian population. Likewise, the Commissioner's report indicated that 2015 marked the first year since the passage of the Firearms Act in 1998 that restricted and prohibited firearms have been possessed by licensed individuals in greater quantities than they were in 1989, with 978,347 such firearms registered in 2015 compared to 947,072 registered restricted and prohibited firearms in Canada in 1989. At this point, more Canadians have gun licenses than play hockey, although it's not yet socially accepted as our almost national sport. Gun ownership and shooting has historically been a huge part of Canadian culture, and these statistics demonstrate that a pastime we're used to seeing in more rural areas of the country is starting to take root with the younger, more urban generation. They're seeing firearm ownership as a way to connect with our national past, harvest healthier food more ethically, or just have a lot of fun.
I'm going to hazard a guess that most of it is, wow, I got to shoot this gun on my video game, and I get to shoot it in real life.
I'm sure that's a big impact, too.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that there's a lot of people that start that way.
I'm not sure how many of the new gun ownerships are to connect with our national past, but...
Hey, I don't know.
People out there get licensed and get their guns. That's what matters.
Well, George, you got all your six shooters and lever action to go do cowboy shooting, which is kind of like connecting with your past.
Exactly.
Well, it's to connect with my childhood, but that's our national pastime.
George, just take the win.
Just take it. Just take it, George. Just take it.
I'm just saying it's just a bit hokey. Harvest. When was the last time you heard somebody say, "Oh yeah, I got my firearms license to harvest healthier food"?
I have.
Yeah, I have.
I've never heard anybody say that.
And a lot of it with farms, new farm owners, it's not gender specific and it's not age specific, because today we, say the girls, for example, they were in the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. Totally different people. And same with the guys. We had a lot of younger guys. We had some guys in the 30s. We had a couple older guys and all new shooters. So it was really good to see a different influxes of ages and genders coming forward and having fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I think George's also right a lot about, how a lot of people, they see this stuff in their games and in TV shows or movies, and they think it's awesome that they get to play with it. Like, I can't count the number of times that either I tell someone new that I shoot guns, or I'm taking them to shoot guns, and one of their first question is, "Do you have a Glock?"
Yeah.
No, I don't shoot that. I don't shoot that garbage.
I got into shooting because, one, I got to shoot guns. I've watched guns on TV all my life, and I finally got to shoot a real gun. I'm like, damn. This was fun. I want to do it again.
Oh, yeah. It was a big part for me. I just wanted to do it because it looked like fun.
Yeah. I got hooked. I got hooked I did the it. Very first time I pulled the trigger. The smell, the whole environment. And I never tried a pistol until I was 40. And first time I fired a handgun, I was like, oh, my God, this is hard. And I got hooked.
I'm one of those, I shot my first gun for the first time because I was playing video games. First time I ever went shooting was in 2000, and I was playing a PC game called Rogue Spear, and a bunch of the guys I played with lived in the Detroit area, so they invited me down, and we went to a gravel pit with an arsenal and just shot like crazy. It was insane.
Oh yeah,
that was my first experience shooting.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It was fun. And because of a video game.
Yeah, and I know as soon as I saw, like, IDPA and IPSC, this was before I even saw a 3-gun, I saw those things, and I thought, holy smokes, I want to get in, like, because I saw that stuff after I started shooting, but before I started shooting pistols, and when I saw that, I'm like, I need my pistol license, because I need to compete.
That's what happened with Cowboy. I didn't even know Cowboy existed, so I was at the range one day, and I was chatting with a guy, and he was telling me about it, and I'm like, are you kidding me? You mean... You can actually dress up as a cowboy and, like, shoot real guns? He's like, yeah. I'm like, are you serious?
George showed up at the range. George showed up at the range in his full costume and everything. Wait, there's a whole competition for this?
Can we make money doing this?
You mean this is a real thing? I'm not just dressed up like a cowboy just for nothing?
Yeah. No, that's always great to hear. Great to hear that that murder is going down, and it's good to show the correlation that it's clearly not all the legal gun owners, right, that are causing this crime, because their numbers are going up and crime rate's still going down, so that's good.
Yeah, but they only legislate who they can control.
Yeah.
And way to bring us back on point.
Yeah.
All right. What's new in the industry, Thomas?
Well, a lot of the shot so guns are starting to leak out. So the one that really caught my eye is that Thompson Carr released 7 new models for 2017, and some of them are the New York Safe Compliant Act. And they have a .44 Magnum that qualifies in New York. Carr, along with their sister company Magnum Research, has announced no less than 7 new handguns for 2017. These new models include lightweight Desert Eagles with integrated muzzle brakes. These sound like fun. Desert Eagle fans will appreciate a broadening of offerings from these New York State, because they've got a weight comparison. So to jump to the big boy stuff, they have to, it has to be less than 50 ounces. So these are 44 Magnum gas operated autoloaders that are less than 50 ounces.
So in New York, you can't have a handgun that weighs more than 50 ounces?
I'm assuming so. I was right here.
I did not know that.
Yeah, a safe act requirement.
They should have said 50 caliber.
For those outside New York State, a 50-ounce is a Safe Act requirement designated specifically for excluding big bore Desert Eagles and similar handguns. So they put their weight requirement in to get to the big bores. So they're light in the big bores.
so they just made the gun lighter. I like their thinking.
And they're offering it in .44 Magnum and .357. Now, this is what I saw on the news thing, but when I scrolled down and I went to the company's specs on the gun, the company's specs. Can you make that picture any bigger, Mike?
Already on it.
Beautiful. The company's specs says it's, where are you here? It's almost, 2.5 pounds? So I don't know where they're getting this weight from, because I show a totally different weight on the spec sheet.
Wait, 2 pounds. 14 ounces. Pounds. Yeah.
Now I wonder, and it's the same model number that's listed in the article. Black L5, black aluminum. So there's no way.
Unless there's going to be another, there's going to be another designation for
Two and a half pounds would equal out to, I think, 48 ounces, right? 16 ounces in a pound. So that's what, 32, 42, 48. So they're under their 50.
And 14 ounces. Just under. Why wouldn't they just say 50 ounces so they could get it through the safe compliant thing?
That's as ridiculous as our stupid muzzle-length restriction.
But wouldn't that be a hoot to shoot? you ever fired one of these things? A Desert Eagle?
As a matter of fact, I have shot a golden Desert Eagle. Thank you to Wes.
Well, his was a 50, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You shot the 50. Now, how was it with the 50?
It was awesome. Totally worth the money he spent on the ammo. I don't know how much they retail for, but I would definitely love to get one.
I got to play with one a couple of charity shoots ago, and it was nice, it was big, it was heavy, it was no more recoiling than my .45. I love shooting it. The factory ammo.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was expecting more recoil than there was, but it was awesome. I loved it.
That's good.
All right. So, main topic. Everyday carry.
So what is everyday carry?
Well, I guess it would be something that you carried with you every day. In the States, it would be a sidearm, but since we don't have concealed carry. It's what we actually carry on our person for safety or self-defense or for...
In the U.S., it's what gun you carry. In Canada, it's how big the brick is in your purse.
Yeah. And whatever knife you carry is a tool, not as a weapon, because we can't carry anything as a weapon. But we do carry tools to help us through our daily lives.
Yep.
I used to carry a straight blade or a fixed blade. And before I did, I called the London Police Department to find out what the length restrictions were. And I kid you not, he told me there's no law restricting the length of blade. If I wanted to walk downtown with a samurai sword, legally, I could.
That's correct.
I'm like, really? He goes, there's no law limiting the length. He goes, we'll probably end up getting a phone call if you're walking downtown London with a samurai sword. But legally, you can do it. I'm like, yeah, it's about a 6-inch fixed blade, and I'm a courier driver, so I use it for work for cutting plastic. He goes, I don't care what you do with it. Just as long as you're not committing a crime with it, we don't care.
And that's the point. If you carry something, it's against the law in Canada to carry anything as a weapon for self-defense. So if you carry something and you get stopped by law enforcement, never say it's a weapon. It's a tool. And basically, it is a tool. I carry my knife every day, and I probably use it 5 or 6 times a day.
Yeah. Yep. You know how many times I've...
Always teased me about me carrying, when I carried my gun. There was a flood. I'll be getting a phone call from the police tomorrow after they listen to the upload of the New Shooter Canada. That was Thomas I was just speaking, by the way. Call him. Anyways, Wanda used to always tease me. Oh, why do you carry it? Well, we went to Staples today to pick up some stuff, and she bought this candy thing, and she couldn't get into it. And I'm like, ha! See? Wouldn't it be nice if I had my knife on me?
Exactly.
Well, why do you bother carrying that every day? I gotta be nice. She's next to me driving.
Well, I get asked that question all the time. Why do you carry it all the time? And then next thing you know, and you know what? This is the season to carry it. Christmas time, everyone wants a knife because everyone gets a pack or gets either a package in the mail they want opened right away because they can't wait. Or when you're opening presents, there's always someone that's so excited about their brand new toy, and then there's tape on it, and you see them sitting there trying to like bite at the tape, but it doesn't work. And it's like, I have a knife you can borrow. Remember that knife you kept making fun of me for? Oh, here it is. It would be very useful in this situation, wouldn't it?
I was at work.
Exactly.
I was at work in the summertime, and there's this elderly Chinese lady, and she's got a stroller, but the little boy's not in the stroller. He's walking beside, and she's looking at me, and she's pointing down at the wheel. I have no idea what she's saying. She's speaking in Mandarin. And I looked down, and I guess he'd been fishing, because both wheels were just wrapped in fishing line of the stroller. And that little old lady couldn't push the stroller. I said, I fix for you. And I pulled out my knife, and I turned it over, and I cut all the fishing line off. I threw it all in the garbage, and I saved that little lady's day because I had my knife with me.
Oh, yeah.
Little things like that. Hero.
Yeah, maybe we should get back on topic. So what is important about everyday carry?
Well, what do you carry, Mike?
Well, I carry a multitude of things, but I carry what I'm trying to get to is the concept of why do you everyday carry?
Okay.
Like, whether it's your knife, a flashlight, things like that, the point is to be prepared for any situation that arises, right?
Exactly.
Like, if I could carry a gun, I would, and it would be for a very certain specific problem. But it's not for the problem of I need to open up a package. That's why I carry a knife on me.
You're not going to Homer Simpson your beer?
No, I don't plan on Homer Simpsoning my beer.
Oh, there's an obscure reference. Wow, that one's old.
Yeah, that is actually pretty old. All right, so anyways, my point was, it's the point of everyday carrying is about the discipline of carrying a certain set of items for every day for certain problems that may arise throughout your day and helps you get through the day, right? So, for example, I'm assuming everyone probably does this, is everyone every day carries your keys, right? Your car keys, your house keys, things like that. So.
What do you carry on your key ring? Do you carry a whistle?
No, I do not carry a whistle on my key ring. I'm a minimalist when it comes to my key ring. I like as little stuff on it as possible.
Because of my training at work, at all times, I have a whistle with me, I have a flashlight, and I have a knife. Because I used to work at track level in the subway, and we had to have those things with us at all times. The signaling of ice, a light, and a knife, especially if you get your clothing caught in one of the switches. So that's what I've been carrying basically for the last 30 years, is those main things. Okay. I always have a whistle, and the whistles come in handy. We witnessed an armed robbery once, and I blew out that with my Fox 40 whistle. You've never seen people run so fast in your life when you start blowing that thing at 3 o'clock in the morning.
who uses a whistle anymore? Like, I just imagine, like, you know, the old police with their, like, goofy hats and the baton blowing the whistles running after people. Like,
well, at the bottom, you know, at the time, it was night, and they were a fair distance away from us, but we could see it taking down. We could see the guy getting beat and everything else that was happening. So I figured the safest thing to do, like, we called the police, and I just blew the whistle just to, and it did work. They did run.
Oh, yeah.
Right past us. We did get a bit of a description, too, but.
Oh, yeah. That's good that it did. I'm just thinking in my head, who runs from a whistle these days?
They don't
expect it. I guess they're more afraid of other people, right? They thought they were alone, and you just proved them wrong.
Yeah, they knew everybody. Now I'm waking up the neighborhood, and everybody knows something's happening, so they're going to get out of there as fast as they can.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So. I used to carry a .45-70 on my key ring, just in case I ever came across a buffalo that had to be taken down.
A buffalo and the rifle sitting there beside it?
So, you mean just the cartridge, yeah. or just the cartridge on your key ring?
It was Brian, what's his last name? Brian from Utah. Him and his wife are making like gun jewelry and stuff, and so I bought one, a 22 bracelet, and I bought myself a 45-70 keychain. It's not active, it's got no powder in it, it's just...
Yeah.
But I did have it on my keychain for a long time.
Yeah. See, I don't carry anything anything like that. I like my key ring so small to the point that I don't even keep... I keep Sarah's car keys on a different ring, just so I don't have to carry them around all the time.
You're a minimalist.
I am. When it comes to my keys, I don't like anything on them. Anything I don't need.
I don't have a lot. I have the house key, the range key, the car key, and a work key. But that range key is with me at all times.
Yeah.
I think I've got a couple of keys on my key ring that I'm not even sure what they're there for anymore.
I have a key for my car, my house, my parents' house, and the deadbolt locks that I use for rifle cases. That's all I carry on my keys.
Well, George, you're on the road a lot. What do you carry when you go from truck to truck, from state to state? Is there a bag you carry with you with gear in it that you need?
I don't really carry anything per se. I'm a hammer in my truck. And a dog. Seriously, I got a ball peen hammer that sits beside my seat. And I got my dog.
You don't have a bag of them, do you?
I used to carry a leather bag. Hammer. What did you say?
Don't worry about it, George. Just keep going.
Just listen to the show. The ball peen hammer's for the lot lizards. Keep them away from the truck. Okay. I used to carry a Leatherman, but it's still in my truck, actually. I still have it. But the loop for the belt is kind of stretched, and I didn't want to get caught and get ripped off and then losing my Leatherman. So.
Yeah, I find the pouches for those are crap and they fall apart.
Yeah, that's what the problem is. And then, other than that, I carry the most important thing, a winning personality. I think Wanda just rolled her eyes.
Welcome, George's ego, to the show.
See, part of my problem is, when you get into the States, you got signs all over the place, no firearms, no weapons, no knives, and so I'm not read. I haven't read up enough on the knife laws down in the States, so
you got to be careful. Definitely.
And with my job, like that is my job. So the last thing I need is to start getting in trouble with the law and just start having problems. And so since I don't know the laws well enough, I don't. Like I said, I've got my Leatherman stays in the truck. I got a ball peen hammer and I got a dog. And so far, I've been all right.
Thomas, is there anything else you carry every day?
Oh, I carry a whole bag with me every day. Because I have my office in my knapsack. Every day, I carry, I've got the Gerber AutoSys in my pocket. And then I have a backup Gerber with the G10 grip on my shoulder strap. So if I don't have, if I get my knife in my pants, I've got a backup in my bag all the time. I carry a small first aid kit, I've used actually a lot of the first aid supplies when the dog hurt himself. A small first aid kit. I got a little Gerber multi-tool. That's about it.
Yeah. So what about every day when you're not at work?
This bag isn't with me all the time. It's always in the car.
Oh, okay. This isn't a work item.
This is my last. I keep my work, my paper orders in here with me at all times. The bag goes with me all the time, so I just keep my paperwork in here. Okay. So if I need my lunch or whatever, I'm taking. And this time of year, I also carry an extra hat, a pair of gloves, and a pair of dry socks. And I always have water with me too. Okay. I'm all over the place. I could be anywhere.
Yeah.
There could be no water. There could be no food. I could be stuck in a remote location. So I usually carry what I need.
Yeah. So that pretty much just stays in your car then.
It stays with me. I take it with me everywhere I go.
Yeah.
If I'm going someplace, the bag comes with me. Yeah. Oh, I also have New Shooter Canada business cards in there. I wonder where those went.
I wonder why we're not getting any new listeners, Thomas. You're not getting enough business cards to people.
Yeah, of course, I always have Advil with me too, but I carry that with me all the time. And that Fox 40 whistle. I've always carried the whistle.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. It's come in handy.
Yep.
Works great on dogs too.
Yeah. Yeah, so I always carry my keys on me. I carry a Kershaw blur knife. I also carry a small flashlight. Let me see if I can figure out which one it is. And it's the Olight. I believe it's the S10. Or no, it's the S1 baton. It's an awesome little 500 lumen flashlight that's so small. It's awesome.
AAA batteries.
I have a little flashlight for my truck, but I ran it over with the truck.
Did it survive? Well, no, you always see those on the late night TV shows or the late night commercials when they're like, oh, buy a super awesome flashlight. It survives everything. And you see them drive over it with a pickup truck or something.
Yeah, this thing didn't survive. I heard the crunch. I'm like, I wonder what that crunching noise is.
I've seen them do that to Glocks.
Oh, yeah.
I opened up the door and I'm like, oh, my flashlight is gone.
Yep.
What I've noticed nowadays too is that knife quality has really gone downhill. A lot of these big, for example, the two that I have are Gerbers, which used to be U.S. made. And, you know, they used to be good knives. Well, the first one, which is maybe 5 or 6 years old, the workmanship's not too bad on it. Polishing's half decent. It's held together. The newer one, it's a piece of crap. The machining marks all over the place on it. I've had to tighten up and adjust the locking mechanism on it. It's just the quality's not there from what it used to be. And even big companies like Buck nowadays, they still have imported knives. You can get smaller Buck knives that are made in China. You pay a little bit more money nowadays for the American-made Bucks. But they still make a nice U.S.-made product. But I think all the Gerber stuff's made in China now, and the quality's just gone downhill. So my mom asked me what I wanted for Christmas. And I told her I want a Buck, American-made Buck folding hunter with the finger grooves. I want a nice American pocket knife.
Yeah. And another good point, if you carry your pocket knife in your pocket, who would have thought, eh? You should also make sure to take it apart and clean it every once in a while, because I did that to mine a few months ago, and it was just full of...
Oh, lint.
Lint and all this other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I do that. I take a Q-tip to it. The other thing is, too, is once it's in your pocket, then technically it's a concealed weapon. Okay, so it's better to have it on a clip so it's visible, or in a sheath so it's visible. If it's actually hiding in a pocket, you can actually use a valid charge against you.
Yeah, that's why I clip mine onto my pocket so that it's visible and it actually sticks up above the pocket so you can see it.
Yeah, you can see mine in my pocket and you can see mine on the knapsack. It just sticks right up. But I like having a knife in the patch for the knapsack, because I've actually had my knapsack when I was a teenager got caught in the subway door and I got dragged down the tracks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I always carry a knife on my knapsack.
Yep. Another consideration, I always wear a watch.
Thank you.
I know last week, last week I was joking about my, even if it's my watch and you were making fun of me for wearing a citizen watch. I always wear a watch. And when I'm not wearing this one, I do have a separate watch that I wear at work that I don't care if it gets absolutely mangled. And it's just a $10 Walmart watch, but sometimes knowing what time it is it is important. So
well, I agree. And I'm not trashing your citizen. The solar, the quartz solar is, I looked at it. It's a nice watch. It's big. It's a lot bigger than this, and I just couldn't stand looking at the name Citizen all the time. It used to be Citizen Electronics. You know, Citizen Stereos, and they were garbage. They were crap, so I just don't like the name Citizen.
Yep. The other thing I also have on me at all times is like a paracord bracelet thing.
Oh, I do. I have a piece of rope in my bag, too, that Styx gave me 2 years ago. It's still in my bag. It's about 30 feet of paracord.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I keep it on me.
I forgot about that. That's a good thing.
I haven't had to unravel mine yet, but I have been camping and had to use paracord for multiple different things. But, yeah. The other thing that I'm sure pretty much every modern person these days, heck, even my parents have started doing it, carrying on them everywhere, is a cell phone.
Yes.
But cell phones are only good if they have power, so it's always good to make sure that's true.
My dad listens to the show, but he's notorious for...
But you're going to rip into him?
He never turns the damn thing on. I'm like, why do you even have it? You're not going to turn it on. Well, it's for me to call out to people. It's not for people to call me. I'm like, oh my good Lord, you are so old. You are so old. Even older than Thomas.
Yeah.
Sorry, if George Sr. ever wants to will that buckmark to somebody else, you know, I'll take it.
No. As depressing as it may be, I am his son, and he's stuck with me.
But yeah.
So, you know, we didn't do any show notes for this. Nobody had any. We weren't going to do anything. And just the last minute, I looked at my knife and go, we should do EDC. That was it.
Yeah. And another thing that I've been looking into from Geek Gadgets and Guns, they point out this. You can buy those little portable charging packs for your phone.
Yeah, I have one.
I'm talking about? Yeah. Yeah, I need to pick one of those up. Because like I said, useless unless it's with power.
Yeah, Staples. I don't know how it works, but Staples, they have it's like a little bar. And there's like $18. And it's a power pack for your phone.
I got three of them for $20 at Costco.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'll have to look into one of those because, yeah, I've had times when my phone's getting low and you could always use a little bump, right?
And so last thing you want. The thing with me, I've got a charge. My phone's plugged into my car right now. My truck has a charge cable in it, and then I have charge cables at home. So I'm never. Well, very seldom am I ever more than a few feet away from a charging cable. So my phone generally stays fully charged, but like Wanda, she runs into that problem quite often. Her phone will just run right down.
Yeah.
Especially if you leave the data on, that'll kill you. What I do a lot of times, because I'm underground, I just put my phone into airplane mode because there's no point. Because if you're not getting a signal, you're just constantly searching and searching and searching and you're drawing power.
Yeah, it'll kill your
It'll kill you. Battery. So as soon as I go on the subway, it's shut right down until I come upside of above ground, and then I turn it on again.
I read once that if you're connected to a weak signal, whether it's a cell tower, a weak signal off a cell tower, or your data's on a Wi-Fi on a weak signal, it actually will drain your battery faster on a weak signal than if you're connected to a strong signal.
Possibly.
So I've read that. And of course, everything you read is true, right?
Well, it depends. Did you read it online? Did you also know that you can stick your phone inside a microwave and just for like 10 seconds, that's all it needs, and it will fully charge your phone.
Oh, really?
It will, Thomas. Go try it right now, Thomas.
I read it online on Facebook while it was on TV. It doesn't get any truer than that. I can't remember where I read it. It was some online article.
It yeah. makes sense though, because it's searching.
Oh yeah.
It's got to work harder to boost the signal, right? To grab that signal. I don't know. Made sense to me. And Thomas verifies it by turning his signal or his phone on airplane mode when he goes into the sewers. So I mean the subways.
No, you're right the first time.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Yeah. Oh, it was a fun week. I'm telling you, the crazies were out in full force.
Full moon.
Oh, Black Friday. Weekend shopping at Christmas, it was insane. We didn't actually go in the malls. We just watched the chaos from the parking lot outside.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So, anything else anyone can think of that they carry every day on them?
That's about it.
I carry my dog with me every day.
You two both wear glasses. Do you guys carry like any glasses cleaner or backup glasses or contacts?
There's two backup pairs in the car. And yeah. Actually, yeah, you're right.
Pair in my truck.
And I have a pair of contacts in my knapsack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And because what I do, I always carry water because a lot of times there is no drinking water at work. Especially the older systems or stations or there's lead contamination warnings all over the place. You can't get fresh drinking water, so I always carry lots of water. Then you gotta find a place to pee, that's the problem.
Well, if you bring a bottle of water, drink the water, then you got somewhere to pee, right?
Can you think of anything else, Mike?
No one's gonna respond to that?
I have comments, but they're not appropriate for the show, so we'll just move on from there.
Well, if you're in the subway, just pee on that third rail. It's a shocking experience.
Don't laugh, it's true.
Are you speaking from experience?
People have done it.
Oh, jeez. Anyways, without getting into what I carry in my car, I assume that's a whole separate topic. Yeah, that's pretty much all I got.
But now, only
the one thing I don't carry that I should carry is a flashlight.
Flashlights are easy these days. You can get mine is so small. Now, mind you, my battery dies about once a month. And more often than not, it died because it got turned on in my pocket.
That's how
crazy. Yeah, see, that's the one thing that discourages me from carrying a flashlight is I don't really see it as a practical, it doesn't really have a practical use. Because most of the ones are self-defense focused, and
you don't need to get a fancy self-defense one. If you look up the one I got, I think I got mine off Amazon, and I got mine with a rechargeable battery. So if it dies, it sucks for the rest of that day. But as soon as I get home, I recharge the battery, and I'm good to go. Or you can just carry some spare batteries with you.
I got three at Costco. Okay, and they came with. And they take four batteries, and they came with Duracell batteries. They've got the tactical bezel on them, but they're waterproof, and they're just a high and a low beam. And they are super, super bright. But the high beam will run your batteries really fast. But when I'm walking the dog, I just put it in low beams. And I just basically, before we go into the park and stuff, I just light up the place looking for little shiny eyes. So if I go to let them off, I don't run into a rabbit or a fox or something.
Yeah.
But I always have the flashlight.
What's your max lumen there?
The max, I think, is 250 on the big one. 300. No, the new one's 300.
Yeah. My max is 500, and it will burn the battery, I think, in about 5 minutes if I left it on that one.
Oh, yeah.
But I rarely use it. I use it, and that's just it. It's almost like the knife, right? Everyone thinks that, you're going to carry a knife on you, and you're going to all of a sudden be a ninja on the streets, right? No. Most of the time, you're using your knife to, cut open a package so you don't have to get up, walk over to the kitchen, and get out a kitchen knife and cut it. Right? It's the same thing with the flashlight. Half the time I use my flashlight, it's because I drop something on the ground and I can't find it.
Oh, yeah. Actually, an hour ago, the remote fell and I couldn't see the lid for the remote. It was underneath the chest wheel. I had to get my flashlight, look underneath before I can find it. So,
yeah.
And the tactical is good because the high beam is good for identifying what you're trying to get, what you want to see, because it's so bright. And then once you identify what you want, you just turn it down and you get a much less intense light. Is a self-defense. You hit somebody in high beam with that thing, you're going to blind them for a couple of minutes anyway.
Oh, yeah. But that's what I mean, right? If you're, if you carry your flashlight and you think that you're going to use it to stop your next mugging, you're going to find that you're going to use it for everything else other than that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
99% of the time, right?
I don't even think about using my flashlight as a weapon, but I guess I suppose I could.
I never think, the only time I ever think of using it as a weapon is if I'm walking somewhere at night with my flashlight already out. And it's like, oh, if someone came up, I just shine this flashlight at them. But I'm never thinking to myself, like, if I see someone sketchy on the streets when I'm walking by, my first thought isn't, oh, I should reach for my flashlight and get ready to blast them in the eye, right? No, that's not my thought.
Well, the first one I had was a three-position flasher, and when you got to the last one, it was a strobe, and they actually marketed it as a self-defense thing. It was the same thing at Costco. I got three for $20 again, different type of flashlight. And they actually showed a picture of the package of some guy hitting the strobe at an attacker. Well, the last thing you're going to probably worry about under duress is trying to hit that third button to get that thing to flash just to stick it in somebody's eye. You better try to run and get the hell out of there as fast as you can.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Anything else I can think of people everyday carry? No, I'm pretty good.
No, I can't think of anything else. As I said, if we could carry again, we would.
Oh, yeah. If I could carry... Oh, that brings us on to a whole new subject just because we're...
Well, we can't carry a cop, right?
Well, I can't carry a cop. But one of the new... I heard on the radio, one of the new female that's going for the conservative leadership... She had already publicly said that she wants to make it legal to carry pepper spray for personal defense.
Ooh, that would be changing the criminal code.
I would. I saw the same article.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it would require a change in the criminal code and a bunch of other things, but I guess that's something that she is she's looking into doing. So.
Well, that's good.
You got all these women advocacy groups. What kills me is they know how useless a restraining order is because they see these women battered coming to their doors. And what kills me is, like, they should be the greatest, loudest voice advocating for pepper spray and mace so that these girls have a way to protect themselves from these...
The very first thing that the person on the radio station said after that was, well, that's just dumb, because then the bad person's just going to take the pepper spray from you and use it on you.
Which is possible.
It's the whole argument of you shouldn't carry a gun because the bad person will take the gun from you and use it on you.
Yeah, it's the same argument.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous because in the context of male violence against women, the guy doesn't need the pepper spray because generally the guy's going to be bigger than the girl and it's an uneven fight to begin with.
Yeah, in most cases. Not all, but in most cases, yeah.
So, yeah. I'm generalizing
a
little bit. I know, there's always an
exception. Any man who hits a woman is pretty small in my books anyway, so.
But my point is that they don't need the pepper spray to inflict the damage that they already inflict on these women.
No.
We're going to deny a woman the ability to level the playing field so they can defend themselves because of some retard on some retard radio station has some stupid retard assertion that, oh, well, they're just going to get the pepper spray. They're already doing the damn damage. Give the woman a chance to fight back.
Yeah.
Well, it's not only the women. If they allow things for self-defense, it would have to apply to both genders equally. So we would be able to carry
pepper spray.
Everyone would be able
and weapons as which we should. It wasn't until the Firearms Act came out that they actually made everything illegal to have an actual weapon.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would imagine...
Being the father of three daughters and now a granddaughter, it's a bit of a source point for me because I just, it's such an aggravating thing. We have one woman that runs the women's shelter in London that's very, very outspoken. That's a whole nother subject, that woman. But, we hear it in London, the London media all the time about the women's shelters and these poor women. And it aggravates me that something as simple as pepper spray isn't allowed. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I know, I've had...
And if you're listening, you're listening to this in the States, go and listen to Gun for Hire and buy a lipstick bodyguard.
I've had two female friends killed by their spouses, so yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, it's absolutely asinine that especially somebody in the media that would say, oh, they're just going to take it from you and use it against you. Like, oh, just, anyway, I'm going to stop now.
Well, isn't their saying supposed to be, if it saved just one life?
Yeah.
Well,
I know.
If she had pepper spray, it might just save one life.
It's a selling slogan like anything else. Like, the customer's always right. Doesn't mean it's correct.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Goosebumps. Okay, I'm centered. I'm good. I'm loving.
So we didn't do anything this week. There's nothing in the events. It's blank.
But if you have an event, you send us one. Yeah. If you do have an event, send us one at host@newshootercanada.ca and we'll be sure to put it into next week's episode.
And we promise we won't let George read it because he always makes a mess of everything.
And we'll George read it, then we'll correct it the next week.
Well, we promise Mr. Uzi will be back next week. We'll put his in. We'll get some more information in there.
Okay. Mr. Uzi? I just got a notification on Instagram. Mr. Uzi's on Instagram as Mr. Uzi. That's his username on Instagram. I love it. That is so awesome. Sorry, Wanda's phone turned off, so I've lost the show notes. So I'm winging it now. Look out, folks.
Okay. Listener email. I'll take number one. Hi, George. Thanks for the suggestion of your show. I'm really enjoying it. One thing that would help me is if you guys could put links in the show notes of images on the firearms you're talking about, so someone like me that's unfamiliar with a gun would know what you're talking about. Thanks. Have a great day, George. Terry
General. I got the show notes.
We can do that. We can put links to the pictures.
Yep. I've been writing down now, if we talk about a gun, I write it down and hopefully I'll...
In my defense, Terry, I do actually put a picture of the gun in the show notes. What happens to it after that, I don't know. But I do put them there.
And Terry, in my former defense, I could never get them out of the show notes. And now Mike does the show notes, so blame him.
Yeah, thank you. Those are some nice fresh tracks.
I'm just here for color commentary. I can, I can take the next one. I got the show notes open again. This is from, Matt from, Geek Scouts Guns.
Okay, before you do it, this is actually two, right? So we talked about one.
Oh,
and
then
he put a picture of the second one. It was really, really, really cool. And then he responded to the second one. So it's actually two comments from him.
Oh. Well, why don't I let you take this one since you know what you're talking about?
Thanks for volunteering, Thomas.
So Matt from Geek Gadget and Guns, LFD Research has a lot of different videos. They did some testing on some devices. So he actually responded to the show. He said, here's a comp break flash header. Well, it's quite expensive. It's extremely impressive device that I would suggest getting the optional cage device for it as well. So he's talking about the cage that you were talking about last week, Mike. That tones down the blast a great deal while it's still keeping the compensating and break properties. He says, I also have the Gamma version of this, and it's the same, just lacking the flash hider. I haven't shot it yet to see the flash or if the flash hider does it initially yet, so he hasn't tested it yet. So we have a link to that one in the show notes, so you can look at it, Terry. And then it was a really cool-looking picture. So he said, yes, it's indeed very cool-looking. That's why he prefers the Epsilon over the Gamma. It's just a bit more in the style. So I guess he likes the look of it. I'm still trying to figure out a good test methodology for these tests. You may also like to look at the newest one Heinrich and I acquired. It looks awesome, but I can't say it's better or worse than the VG6 device. So I put the links in the show up. If you got to check these guys out, the LFD research videos are entertaining as well as educational. And the guys are pretty fun. So if you get a chance, listen to the Geeks, Gadgets, and Guns. For the old guy, the gadget stuff sort of go over my head, but the gun stuff I like. And
I like guns.
I like guns. That's my favorite part. And we also, we've got a date lined up. We're having all three guys on the show. We've been trying for months and months and months, but because of logistics, it's been very difficult. So we have a tentative recording date with the geeks.
Cool. All right, number three. Yeah, I'll take this one, I guess. Okay, this is written from Thomas, Tim. So if you're gonna go after anybody, remember Thomas wrote this. So just my disclaimer. All right, we had a response from listener Tim after I said how happy I was that. Toby is back and Tim is no longer a school stand-in. Apparently our hopes of not hearing Tim on another podcast were short-lived. Tim, that's Thomas. He's a hater.
Yeah, he is.
I can hardly wait, Tim. Tim said, wrong. You'll be listening to me on another ASP. Did he say ASP? I thought he said another podcast.
No, he said ASP, Arms Growled Podcast.
We record Sunday night, LOL. My wife is cute. Stay away, Thomas. And I'm always a nice guy who rides Canada like Seabiscuit during the nasty winters up there. Smiley face.
Okay, well, Kirsten is cute and possibly visually impaired also, but or Tim has lots of money. I don't know.
And did he not say something about doing a beekeeping podcast?
Yeah, I think that's why he's going to be back. I think that's why he's going to be back on the Arm Squirrel project.
No, he's doing No. He's doing a podcast with Luke Drew, and they're going to do a beekeeping podcast.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I knew was something else.
I thought him and Luke Drew were going to be on Arm Squirrel podcast talking about beekeeping.
See, I thought they're starting their own podcast. Hang on here.
You listen to the next episode of the Arm Squirrel, and then send them lots of emails, ask them what's going on with Tim, and flood their email with questions.
Ask them if they're going to do a beekeeping episode.
Please send any feedback, questions, or comments you may have to host@newshootercanada.ca, our Facebook page, or in the comments section on our website at newshootercanada.ca. And if you're in Staples, log into all the laptops and bring up New Shooter Canada and then walk away. That's what I did today.
Set them to the homepage. That's a good idea. I got to do that next time.
I totally did. Stitcher and iTunes. Any reviews? Does anyone check?
Nope. No, I checked and there's none.
Okay. Facebook likes. We are up to 973. Unless Wes Wilson liked our page, because he does that sort of thing. I've heard.
Might be green.
Gangrene.
Could be green.
Get your watermelons or your watermelon helmets out.
Closing comments?
Hey, you know what? We now have two listeners, at least two listeners I know personally, from Saskatchewan that will actually get those references. That's awesome. Because Terry lives out in Saskatchewan. Closing comments. Anybody?
Join one of our advocacy groups.
Sure. We haven't done that one for a while.
Mm-hmm. There's lots.
Who should they join?
All of them. But there's some great ones.
And who are all of them?
Well, we've got the Canadian Sports Shooters Association. We've got the Canadian Coalition of Firearms Rights. We have the Canadian Firearms Institute. We don't give any hoot about the NFA. It's non-existent. That's about it.
The three I want to highlight is CSSA, the CFI, and CCFR. Because all three of those advocacy groups supported the charity shoot this year. So those three are for sure. Gotta join at least. If your club already is, you already have a membership because of your club in like CSSA, for instance, like mine, then join one of the other two.
Yep. Even better, get the trio and be a member of all three.
Yeah.
So, all three of them, they were as soon as we approached them, they're like, yep, done.
Yeah.
So,
and even after I threw the CSSC under the bus, they still supported us.
Yeah. Go back and listen to, I can't remember what episode it was.
Don't go back and listen to it.
Railed them. And they came up big. They gave, I think it was $1,000, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were the biggest single cash contributor.
Yeah. Yeah, the CSSA.
Well, yeah, I heard from John Evers after that.
John Evers got a hold of you and you guys. So they're, to me, that shows a class act that, there's a bit of.
At least they're classier than Thomas.
Yeah, they're classier than Thomas.
Yeah, they're classier than me.
So,
not a hard competition, but.
Well, even the CCFR, as soon as I mentioned to Tracy, she was right on there. She goes, I'll bring this, I'll bring that, we'll do this, we'll do that.
Yeah.
I think we didn't get the t-shirt cannon because she changed jobs. So she didn't have access to t-shirt cannon anymore. But she came up, she did a lot. She got the whole board of directors there. She got everybody out. She was very organized. So a big shout out to her too. They're all good. Yeah. They all did something for us. So we'd like to support them.
Yeah. Support them because they support us.
And for course-wise, the CFI have a lot of courses going on. You can get the RO courses, the handgun safety course, you can get the holster certification, range master courses. They're starting to push on the education. And we noticed that the CCSA also had a job up for course coordinator, so hopefully we'll see them offering some more courses. And the CCFR is just growing, so we should be seeing courses coming out of them in the future too. So it's nice to see that the courses are there now. Where a couple of years ago, we didn't have a lot of courses.
Yeah. All right, that brings us to shout-outs. I was supposed to give somebody a shout-out, but I can't remember who it was. Was that you, babe? I'm not going to say what she just said because she cussed because she's got a potty mouth. But I'm supposed to give her a shout-out in a snowstorm. She's driving my car, which she hates to drive because she's very nervous driving my car.
Thank you, Wanda, for driving the car. That way we can do the show.
Yeah. So my shout out goes to Wanda. I can't exactly remember why. What was I shouting out to? Oh, that's right. So that's my shout out. Did you guys hear her?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's my shout out. To my lovely bride to be.
Okay.
Thomas, any shout-out?
My shout-out is to actually the board and directors of my gun club. They consistently have always really taken a point of making sure not only that the new member can learn to shoot safely, but coach them and learn to shoot competitively and be real proficient shooters. So of all the clubs I've ever belonged to, they do the most for the new shooters. So I shout-out to the Port Perry Riding Club board of directors. They really do a good job.
Cool. Mr. Mike.
I'm going to give a shout out to my parents because they watched the baby while Sarah and I went to the shooting range.
Oh, excellent.
Yep. Not that they'll listen to the show, but.
I thought you were going to give me a shout out for just my general awesomeness, but all right.
No, not this time. I'll save that one for another time.
Okay.
Anyways, I was also going to say, all the listeners, if you thought of something while we were talking today about what we EDC that we missed, feel free to email in the show and let us know what we missed, or just let us know what you carry every day.
Or write us anyway. We're lonely. We have to put up with George, so write us. You know, give us something.
he's right, you know. They are.
No,
the less mic time that they can give me, it's probably better for everybody involved, including the listener. So write it.
I just like the listener input. It just makes it fun. So please, you're more than welcome to write the show. We'd love to hear from you. Unless your name's Tim. Then you can just message us on Facebook.
All right. Well, till next time, keep your barrels pointed downrange and smoke good.
Take your kid shooting.
Time spent at the range is time spent with family. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Tell me.
I really like 22.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or feedback you may have, or if you just want to call shenanigans. You can contact us at host@newshootercanada.ca or through our Facebook page.
The way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale, kill, I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.